Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. So today's book is called, let me go across to Goodreads so I have it right here in front of me, it's called The Library at Mount Char. By Scott Hawkins, who is an author I don't really know very much about. This is the first book by him that I've read, and I think it's actually his first, maybe his only book. But it's funny, actually, Scott Hawkins, Goodreads author. So then I looked across, sort of like Scott Hawkins, about Scott Hawkins on the side. I'm 45 and I live in Atlanta suburbs with my wife and a whole bunch of dogs. Books by Scott Hawkins. Linux. Dork reference, Apache reference, BFA WebLogic, Linux shell programming. So you definitely say, so this guy is obviously a computer programmer. He has done lots of writing in the past about web programming and Apache server stuff, I guess, and Linux stuff. And now this is his first... his first fiction book. Maybe he's written some other bits and pieces, but I don't have, I haven't checked out that other thing, but I just thought it was funny to see that kind of like other books by him, Linux. Okay, great. So Library at Mount Char came out in, published, June 16th, 2015. It's a weird book actually. And I want to get into this by saying how I came across this book. And it was recommended to me on Goodreads via the SFBRP listener group, which you should all sign up for and check out. One of the most popular threads on there. It's very low volume discussion, which is actually very good, actually, I think. I wouldn't want there to be too much discussion and too much to do there. But great thread called Books I Would Like to See Reviewed. And there's lots of books that people say, and I've often mentioned, like, if you say a book and somebody else says, yes, I also think you should read this book, so I will probably get to it pretty quickly. And so Anthony says, I just finished reading The Library at Mount Char, and he says, the first 100 pages, I was honestly going, but I couldn't stop reading it. I didn't get any sense of what the book is about anyway, but I didn't really read deeply into that as well. And then somebody else replied to it. Anthony mentioned The Library at Mount Char a few posts above. Well, I'm about halfway through it and I agree it's entertainingly what the fuck read. Now, because I don't want to get too many spoilers and I just want to kind of just get the recommendations like that. He says here, Luke seems to enjoy books that require some work from the reader to make sense of what's going on in the story. So I could see it being discussed on the show. Now, what I thought they meant by that was like, you know, like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. But actually, they weren't saying that. Ryan and Andy weren't saying that. They were like, what the fuck is going on? And I do think there's a difference because you can kind of understand what's going on, but you're like, what the fuck? And this is definitely one of those books that as you start reading it, there is a little bit of a, oh, what the fuck's going on here? And then it very quickly goes on to, what the fuck is going on here? And again, maybe that's a subtle distinction, but like stuff happens in this book all the way through where I am just like, oh, what the fuck? What the fuck? Can you do that? And it does happen. But there was only a few points where it's sort of like, oh, I don't understand what's going on. There was a few times where I was sort of like, well, I know that this character has got this other motivation and she knows something that the other characters don't know and we don't know. So it means that this is probably, you know, down to her or doing this kind of stuff. And there are a few twists in this story that you just go, oh, right, that's the connection that these two characters have. And oh, right, that's what makes this interesting. But I think the what the fuck moments for me isn't the twists and the reveals. It's much more the... that things that you, in a normal story, you would get to that point in the story and they'd go, oh, actually, at this point in the story, this is the thing that would make most sense, or this is the thing that, kind of narratively speaking, should happen, or this is the thing that goes this. And in this book, Scott Hawkins has just gone, well, when I get to that point, how about I do something which is just completely off the wall and isn't expected by anyone? The reader, the characters involved, or anything like that. So I think that's why it becomes more what the fuck is because if you're doing fantasy and you're like, okay, I can make up any rules to this world that I want, and they don't have to make sense for the characters involved. They don't have to make sense for our understanding of physics. They don't doesn't have to make sense for this or that. And because, you know, there's some things with different timelines, not time travel so much, but, you know, pausing time and, you know, rewinding time and looking at alternate outcomes to a different situation. Because those things exist in this book, you can do the story. Things can happen which in the moment don't make sense, but as you find out more, as you go through the book, can make more and more sense. And you're like, oh right, that's why that character did this. Oh right, that's what was going on. Oh, this is what they were aiming for, even if it isn't completely clear at the time. Now, what I like to do is go into a book like this, which is like a what the fuck is going on kind of book. I don't read the blurbs and the descriptions of the book or other people's reviews of the book. And I'm really glad I didn't in this one. I'm glad I just read it on the recommendation. So that's what I would say. If you feel like a book which is makes you say what the fuck in like three different ways, what the fuck, I do think you should just, you know, read this book. I will go into a little bit more in a minute, sort of a bit more about my reading experiences, but I do think the blurb of the book gives away a bit too much. The first few lines are fine, you know, above the ... on Goodreads where it just says, what does it say here? A missing god. Even just that first line, a missing god, it isn't clear to me that the character at the start is a god character, but it is. So I guess that's all I can talk about. There is some god stuff going on here in America. But yeah, it's a little bit, I would think even just the small parts that I've just said there, even just talking about that there's gods involved, almost spoils it too much, because once you know that, you're like, oh, okay, it's gods, and then it's going to be like this. You even know it's going to be fantasy, whereas I didn't even know this was a fantasy book. I had no idea about the genre of this book at all when I went into it. Anyway, so what it isn't, well, let me put it this way. As I was going through, I was literally just going, well, this is weird. I didn't know what I was reading at the start. I was like, is this like urban fantasy? And then I was like, oh no, it's more of a crime caper. Oh, it's more of a heist. And I was like, oh, there's some magical school stuff going on, but it's a bit like Harry Potter. But it isn't just sort of like the, you know, what kind of fantasy is it, or what style is this? Is this kind of like, you know, say a crime caper? Is it a heist? There's lots of action going on there. But also the tone of the book, it just changes at every moment. It's whiplashing around for me, like, because then it was sort of like, oh, this is horror, and then over here's comedy, and then you get some wacky adventures with some lions, and then there's, oh, suddenly like rape scenes, and then magical weirdness, and then, oh, this is about religion, and now this is kind of science fictional concepts of different things, and, you know, what is it, infinite regression stuff, and you're just like, oh, okay, that's weird. That's all this weird stuff to go into. So it's like, tonally, it's all over the place. Plot-wise, it feels all over the place. You know, what genre of a book are you reading is all over the place. And looking at some of the what they said here on Goodreads in this thing, it said, it's a fantasy set in the modern world, but it feels like Quentin Tarantino had an influence on the author. And yeah, I can totally see that. If you think the influence of Tarantino is just sort of like throwing all of these different references and all of these different tropes and all of these different things into one mixing pot and seeing how they come out, that is definitely in there. Because it is sort of like urban fantasy and there's some stuff about gods and it's set in America, I'm guessing lots of people would say that it's going to be, it's like, oh, it's like Neil Gaiman's American Gods, but it's nothing like that, because that book was so tedious that I tried reading it three times, and the first few times stopped after the first few chapters. The third time I tried reading it, I got about halfway through and didn't. And I never thought after the first few pages of this book that I'm not going to get to the end of this book, because it is one of those things where I'm just like, oh, this is crazy. I've got to see what's going on here. Because the mythology in this book And the magic in this book doesn't seem to be based on, like, you know, like American gods of, like, oh, what if the gods we know in this real world, like in our modern world from ancient gods, what if they were real? And so, okay, here we have someone called Wednesday. And I'm like, well, okay, I know what character that is. And there's another character called Loki. And I'm like, well, I wonder who Wednesday and Loki are going to be. Yeah, there's nothing of that because, like I say, this is so off the wall. I'm sure there are references to religions from our real world in this book, but it's so, you know, mixed up, messed up that everything feels new and fresh, and it isn't just rehashing old stuff and just going, oh yeah, going, you know, gods in the modern world. No, it's like, what would happen if there were gods in the real world? Or if, you know, if there was, if, you know, it's that whole thing and stuff. Like, well, if religion is true, the world would be very different. There's a great Ted Chiang novel like that. It's sort of like, yes, well, if angels exist and hell exists and all that kind of stuff, how would the world be different? And in this book, you kind of feel like, oh, this stuff's happening and it's kind of in this closed off area. You know, a bit like, I guess in Harry Potter, like Hogwarts is, you can't just get there. Nobody can just come across Hogwarts and be like, oh, okay, this is in our world, but it's not in our world. It doesn't really interact with our world. It's kind of separate. So the Muggle, it doesn't really cross over so much. Of course, I think later on it does cross over a bit more in Harry Potter books. But in this, it's sort of like, yeah, well, these things over here, you know, this little town over here where the library at Mount Char is, it's kind of separate from everything else, and it won't really cross over. But as the book goes on, and there's more and more crossing over with the real world, it's not sort of like, oh, underneath the surface of this urban fantasy world is this whole other thing, but it never really affects our world. So it could be happening right now. This could be happening in our real world, but it, you know, but it's hidden and it's secret, so we'd never actually find out that these great adventures are going on. And that's the and that's the complete different thing in this book, that the impact of the fantasy world, like, it really shows itself. Like, there is a lot of impact in the real world, in the wider world, in this book, which is really cool. What have I got on my notes here? Yeah, so there's librarians. They live in America, but they're not really in America. They used to be American orphans. They used to be children who are orphans, and there's a library, and the father, who is like the head librarian, says, okay, each one of you 12 children have to learn one of the catalogs in the library. And one of the catalogs is being very good at fighting and killing, like combat and murder is one of them. Another one is languages. Another one is animals. Another one is healing. Another one is, well, there's lots of different things like that. So we follow the story of some of these orphans who, you know, were kind of adopted into the library by father when they were like 10 years old, I guess. And then, you know, they grow up, and this is then set, like, you know, 25 years later or 30 years later, and they're all, like, in their mid-30s or 40s, and they have to go out from the library into America. So there's quite a lot of joking about, oh, they don't know what cell phones are, and some of them have more or less understanding of what's going on. Carolyn, who is the main character of this book, she is studying languages. So she goes out and talks to people quite often, so she's got a little bit more hang on what the world is like and can know the languages and things. But others of them, like David, always turns up wearing a tutu, a pink tutu. That is his main thing, just because it was something he found. It's sort of like, no, you can't walk around naked. You got to put some clothes on. The first thing he found is a tutu. And others are like wearing like a Christmas woolly jumper with Christmas patterns on, and then cycling shorts and leg warmers. And you're just like, okay, so they try to pass in the real world as normal Americans, but it doesn't always work like that. So that's that kind of the main story, and you know what their relationship is to their father and the relationships with each other. And there's lots of flashbacks to what it's like to grow up in a magical school. But it's not a Harry Potter-like magical school where, you know, people are in charge and they don't do it. It's much more of a, like a Lord of the Flies magical school where it's sort of like, okay, you're all getting these extra special powers and you're all very, you know, you're getting more powerful and you're doing all this kind of stuff. But then what would happen if something goes wrong? And then you're like, okay, well, that's a weird punishment. And then what happens if this person, like, starts bullying that person? Where does it lead with when you've got magical powers and, you know, also healing powers? So if someone gets really hurt, they can be healed. Or if they're killed, they can be brought back to life. And you're like, oh, this gets fucked up really, really, really quickly in this book. Some characters that I liked. I did enjoy... Well, I didn't like David, who is the... he's in charge of combat, magic, and murder. He uses... he kind of slows down time to fuck people up, and it's very much... There's a scene in a police station where it reminded me a lot of the Terminator, how the Terminator just comes into the police station, and is like, well, I need someone from here... So he just kind of goes in and gets what he wants. But it's also kind of like Matrix slowing time stuff. So everyone blinks and then just finds themselves chopped up and dismembered. And so there's good, interesting action sequences told from different points of view. You don't always see it from the point of view of the people fighting. But there's some good stuff going on there. I liked Michael, who walks with the animals and talks with the animals. And he kind of loses touch with his humanity and forgets how to speak. forgets how to speak English and things like that. Erwin is a character in this book who feels really interesting. He's like, he's not one of the children. He's sort of like, he's this FBI, not FBI investigator. He works with different government agencies, but he's sort of like, oh, he does this kind of thing and that kind of thing. He like works, and he roves around and tries to find interesting things happening. Investigates them. It's a bit X-Files, it's a bit whatever, but it's all based on like, oh, coincidences in databases. It's sort of like, this person got this much money, and then this person over here spent that much money on this other thing. Maybe those two things are connected. He's got that kind of thing. But then when people meet him, they're like, oh shit, you're Erwin from this thing that happened over here in this war. And, you know, there was a book written about it and then a movie starring, not him, but about his story. So people recognize his name. So he's obviously this badass. And as I was reading this, I was like, did this guy have his own book? Like, did Scott Hawkins, the author of The Library at Mount Char, does he also have, like, a fun combat, shit going down in Afghanistan kind of novel? And Erwin was the star of that. It feels like Scott Hawkins, even though this is his first published novel, it feels like he's got, like, one or two other Erwin stories, novels, going on there. Because I'm like, oh, there's a story that people keep referencing about Erwin, what he did in the past. And I meant to know about that? Did I miss that? Was I not reading very closely here? Wasn't really sure. So Carolyn is the main character as well. I think you should get to know Carolyn by yourself. These are just some side characters who I've enjoyed here. What am I looking at here? Yeah, so lots of crazy shit going on in this book. And it's, difficult to talk to because it's one of those things that, like, I guess the more I talk about this book, the more you're going, that doesn't sound very good. No, it all kind of fits together. There is a kind of, like, calculated madness in this story where all of this thing is being thrown at the wall. And you'd think, well, how can you do, you know, how can you have like an extended section of about people like hanging out and like healing a lion that's got hurt? You know, okay, so this lion is hurt and he's got to get it to a vet. And that suddenly becomes sort of like a main chunk of the middle of the book is someone like, oh, this lion is hurt and I've got to get the lion. And then like, what happens if you take like a fully grown lion to a vet, like a veterinary practice in some suburb strip mall in America, and that becomes like this really interesting diversion. And then at the end of it, you're just sort of like, well, that kind of felt like, not like the end of a story, but that's kind of really wrapped up what I thought was going to be, you know, that whole section didn't go where I wanted it to go or thought it was going to go. What happens next? And it keeps happening like that, where you just go, okay, well, that didn't really go how I thought it would go. And then at about 25% of the book still to go, like 3/4 of the way through the book, suddenly it kind of wraps up and I was like, oh, right. So Carolyn has won. Now what happens? Well, not won, but she, you know, she got her revenge, and she got what she wanted out of this, what she'd been planning all along. She, it's all kind of pays off. And I'm like, yeah, but there's still like 20-25% of the book to go. What can happen now? And then the book just goes off in a completely different direction. I was like, oh, that's really weird, because normally at the end of a revenge story or whatever, you, somebody wins and you're like, right, that's it, good, and roll credits or the end. But here it's sort of like, no, we're going to now spend like another 100 pages of this book showing kind of what happens afterwards. And then you're like, oh, and then there's sort of like a bit more, a few more flashbacks, which kind of explains her connection with some other characters. And then there's a character over here and you're like, oh, that's what made that person more important, and this kind of thing going over here. Oh, and then, you know, it, falling out and stuff with the magic stuff that was going on, there's some fallout from that too. So yeah, it was a bit of a, again, it's just sort of like, oh right, normally a book would end about there, but here we keep going, and then like afterwards, because somebody didn't get what they wanted, well, they fall into depression, and this person over here, well, you know, the magic didn't work out exactly as they thought, so they've got to, you know, all that kind of stuff needs to be fixed. Oh, and what do you do over there? Oh, right, you got to fix that over. And this character over there, well, we can't really bring them back from the dead, but maybe we can do something interesting over here. We need some help from this person. Oh, we're going to go back over here. You know, so it was just one of those weird things that I don't think I've ever read a book quite like this, which has gone, right, and the end. Ah, actually, we've still got another 100 pages to go. And that next 100 pages just goes off into, like, a different genre of fantasy slash science fiction that I was not expecting at all. Again, I don't even want to give away kind of what even style we go into over there, but it's like freaky stuff, which you'd normally get like as an extra book. Well, not maybe not as an extra book, but like you wouldn't just put those different genres together, those different setups, those different tropes together into a single story like this. Maybe, I don't know. So yeah, totally crazy. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this book immensely, even though I don't think, like, I do think some points you're just sort of like, well, like, I think it's only because it only works because of the craziness that at some point you're just like, yeah, but that character motivation wasn't clear enough at the time to carry me through. It's not a book where character motivations or plotting, like the strength of the plot and these other kind of things are the things that carry you through. It's very much the reading experience of having all these different things going on. And it is one of those things where you, like, the constant, what the fuck is going on? And a lot of books will keep that up for, like, the first four or five chapters. I've read quite a few of these, like, urban fantasy style things where, you know, at the start of the book, like, oh, craziness is happening. Oh, there's a library over here. Oh, it's all crazy and different things. And then about a third of the way through the book, they go, right, okay, now we've set up the rules, now we're just going to play out a pretty standard, you know, a pretty standard kind of genre novel where this person's got wants this person wants there, we've already got all the craziness going on. I think this is what my problem was in the last episode when we were talking about the Raven stratagem, you know, the Yulha Li trilogy, which starts off with Nine Fox Gambit. And that was sort of like, oh, shit, this is so crazy. This is all craziness. And I was saying to Juliana, I wanted that craziness to continue through the second book and through the third book. But it doesn't. It sets up all the craziness is in the first book. And then the second and third book play out. It's just, you know, like she said, it's just Game of Thrones. It's just like who's going to be in charge and politics and machineries of empire, which is what the series is actually called. And in this book, I definitely felt like this is kind of like, oh, after all of the plot finishes that would normally be a plot in a novel, we've still got more to go. But instead of just sort of settling out and not introducing any more craziness, this book just goes, no, we've got 25% of the book to go. I'm just going to keep ramping up the craziness and keep ramping up the what the fuckness. Like, what the fuck's going on? And also, what the fuck? You can't do that to our characters. That's not the payoff. Like, this character here and this character here, after showing us what their backstory was, you can't then just do that. But in this book, he does do that. And it is satisfying. The reading experience is one of them. Again, it's one of those things where I'm just like, oh, this really works for me. Even though in the end, I don't know, I'm not sure how sustainable it was. And I do think it went just a little bit too long, this book. Like, if it had been the same amount of craziness, but like slightly more condensed, I would have enjoyed it a little bit more. But I guess that's just maybe like once I understood what was going on in the book, like not story wise, but like what the tone of the book was and what the book was doing to me. And I guess that's the kind of Quentin Tarantino-ness of it. Like when you get to the end of Inglourious Basterds, you're just sort of like, well, where can we go from here? Sort of like, no, actually what we're going to do is we're going to lock Hitler into a cinema and then kill him. And you're just like, oh, so they kill Hitler at the end of the book. And so I'm like, yeah, wait, not the book, movie. And you're like, did you think this story was sort of like set in our real world? No, it isn't set in our real world. This story is set in a world which is, you know, more fantasy. I think I remember seeing an interview with Tarantino. He says sort of like, yeah, I have movies which are set in our real world, and then I have movies which are set in the movie world of the people who in my other movies are watching. So the people in Reservoir Dogs, if they were going to watch a movie in their heightened reality, which is kind of close to our reality, but not quite, they would watch a movie and it would be Kill Bill. So Kill Bill isn't set in our world. It's set in the world of movies, in the world of Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs. And that's what this story seems to feel like, you know. It's sort of like that, like, if... what is it? It's sort of... Is it Kilgore Trout or something? Sort of like, so you got that extra character. So if a character in a normal fiction book was writing a crazy novel, this is what the novel would be. So once I understood that's what I was reading, I enjoyed it, but, like... Well, I was enjoying it anyway, but as soon as I kind of understood that, like, kind of next layer of writing going on, like I say, in Kill Bill, Tarantino just goes, okay, and now this next section is going to be, this backstory of this character is just going to be animated, so let's just go into some Japanese animation style for this next backstory section, and then here's another chapter, and that's going to be in this other style. But because this is written, it's just sort of like, it's seamless going through. Like, at some points, I'm just going, oh, right, so he's now doing Terminator. He's doing the police station scene from Terminator. Okay, that's cool. Oh, and now this is Matrix and stuff. Again, I'm just bringing in these few different things because this is sort of like the most visual and accessible ones. But like all of this different kind of stuff that's in this book is from fantasy, is from science fiction, is from, you know, urban fantasy and magical stuff going on here. Yeah, it's all good. It's all in here. Again, a little bit shorter, and this would be a 5-star book. But otherwise, I super enjoyed this book. And it was recommended to me in exactly the right way, which is sort of like, this book is a what the fuck kind of book. What the fuck is going on? You've got to work it out. So yeah, I really enjoyed this book. I'm going to give this book 4.5 stars, which is a very highly rated book. And hopefully I've convinced you, without giving too much away, to go into this. But really, you shouldn't have listened to the end of this review if you were going to read it anyway. You should have started reading it when I first recommended it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the same reading experience. You wouldn't get to discover what was going on in the book stylistically and thematically, rather than just what is going on plot-wise. Because I don't think that's the strongest part, although it is an interesting part. Anyway, that's it. So, thanks a lot for listening. Oh, no, that says you do this thing. Let me go over to the Goodreads page. Let me scroll down and see what other people thought about this. Stevie Kincaid, here's a friend reviews. It says, average... 4.17 average rating. So yes, very highly rated. Oh, and a 4.08 overall on Goodreads. So, yeah, very highly rated book. Stevie Kincaid said, I rated it 5 stars. This book seems to be gaining a huge amount of momentum this year. A lot of people seem to have it on the top of their best of 2016 list. Yeah, pretty good. Avoid spoilers. Don't read any more reviews. Just read this book, damn it. Yeah, that's good. Jay rated it 5 stars. Would that I had more than 5 stars to give. Lindsay rated it 5 stars. I could say American Gods as written by Joe Hill, but quite frankly, I think that's unfair to the brilliance that is this novel, and I hope Scott Hawkins has a long career trying to do something better. Okay, American Gods is referenced there. I don't know Joe Hill. Maybe I should read Joe Hill. If you think I should read Joe Hill, please recommend some Joe Hill that I should read. Here in this book. Matthew rated 4 stars. Weird, creepy, and enthralling. After a slow start, this book really soars to lofty heights. It left me stunned at times. A great read, yeah. Amanda rated it 5 stars. Best book this year. And that was from 2015. Why is it only now that I got recommendations for this? Actually, I did see this on the best of Goodreads lists, but, you know, I didn't really click on it. It was just sort of like, oh, yeah, Library of Mount Shire. I guess I'd seen it in the past. Didn't realize it was a book which was kind of, like, right in my wheelhouse. If someone had said, oh, it's like, Johan Thorsen rated 5 stars. It feels like a King Gaiman collaboration, as if King got to have his way with Gaiman's American Gods. If someone had said that to me, I'd been like, meh, American Gods, not really for me. So I'm glad people didn't tell me it was like American Gods before I went into it, because it's just way more interesting than American Gods, which I thought was a bit tedious. David Agranoff rated it 3 stars. Why didn't he like it? What didn't he like it about this? However, I read it quickly. I don't see why he only rated it 3 stars. Anyway, good to know. Right. Oh, Irwin, NSA agent. So that's it. National Security Agent, rather than CIA. Or FBI, did I say there as well? Ryan rated it 3 stars. Hey, Ryan was one of the people who recommended it to me. He only gave it 3 stars, but yeah, he actually recommended it to me after only reading halfway through. However, I had some issues with this book. My biggest was with its tone. Hawkins mixes zaniness, horror, action movie elements, sentiment and serious ideas in a haphazard way, and the different notes never really harmonized for me. The characters felt inconsistent as well. I guess. But for me, the inconsistency and the haphazardness, I didn't think it was that haphazard. I did think it was, like I said before, you get whiplash going between sort of like, oh, here is something that's meant to be funny, and here's a caper with a lion, and now a rape scene, and now over here, I'm just like, whoa, wait, how do you put all the... they don't go together, can you? Yeah. He goes on a bit more, which I think is a bit spoilerish, but it doesn't matter. Right, yeah, that's it. Thanks for also reading and reviewing this book, because I do enjoy looking at SFBRP listeners, other listeners, and what they think of the books that I've read too. Did I say 4.5 stars? I think I did. So you can follow me at Luke Burridge on Twitter and at Luke Burridge on Instagram if you want to keep up with my travel photos and videos and things like that. I'm Luke Burridge on YouTube if you want to see my vlogging, or mostly juggling, and videos there. Me being a professional juggler. Today is 2 special things. One, I'm on a cruise ship, but Juliana is coming to join me on the cruise for another week. Which is pretty good. We are going to, where are we going? Venice, Dubrovnik, in Croatia, Kotor, which is in Montenegro, Katakolon, which is like Olympia in Greece, Piraeus, which is Athens, and then Split, which is Croatia again, and then back to Venice. So that's a 7-day cruise. So we will be doing some podcast recording when she gets here. We've got some stuff to talk about, which should be fun, and also it's my birthday today. I am 22. Right, so that's it from me. Email me, luke@juggler.net, if you've got any questions or anything. I do reply to every email that I get, unless it's a request for reviewing a book that you've read. That you've written. If you've read a book, send it to me. If you've written a book, don't bother. So that's it from me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.